that have enough.
So when you go to court, if you watch like criminal court TV shows or something, they always talk about the jury finding something beyond a reasonable doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because in criminal cases, the standard by which the court reviews the evidence and the legal arguments, etc., is determined because it's a criminal case. You guys are in civil cases. In civil cases, there are lots of different criteria and standards that are used by a court to review what you're putting in front of them. And you have an obligation to tell the court how you want the evidence reviewed, how they're to look at the motion that you've put in front of them. Okay? And those standards, like other things in courts, have been developed over time to have particular meanings. Okay? The one that's probably the most common one, which actually we never use in our cases, pretty much, is substantial compliance. So, I don't know how to spell.
What are you trying to spell?
Substantial.
That's right.
You got it.
So, substantial compliance, you can imagine, means, yeah, you got it, more or less. Right? You substantially, for everything that really mattered, you complied. There's a higher level of compliance that's required in foreclosure cases, which you guys may see when you see motions from the other side. They'll refer to strict compliance. Okay? That doesn't mean just, yeah, you got the most of what matters done. It means that actually you need to be closer to exact. It's that whatever the issue is in front of them, it requires a review that really looks at not just did you kind of get it right, but no, there were specific things you were supposed to show. Did you strictly comply with those things? The reason is that in Massachusetts, they're allowed to foreclose without going to court. And the idea is that without a judge to oversee what they're doing, they can't just do what they think is good enough. They have to actually show that they strictly complied with the laws because no one's looking over their shoulder. So when you get into court related to something related to a foreclosure, you get strict compliance. In most of our cases still, and this is not well defined because it isn't used much in law, the bank bought back. So now, not only was there no judge looking at what was going on at the foreclosure sale, there wasn't a third party. The concept being that if a third party purchases, unlike, for instance, the third party purchaser in Lori's case, they're going to watch their back. And they're going to look at stuff and just the light of day of having another set of eyes looking at whether the foreclosure was legal or not, the courts go, well, you know, you had a third party, they would have protected their own interests. So if the foreclosure was really illegal, they wouldn't buy. Right? They'd look at it and go, oh, we're not going to touch this. So when the banks buy back, there's no...
That doesn't happen.
Right, I know. But that's the way the courts assume that a third set of eyes is going to look at it for their own self-interest and make sure the foreclosure was valid. Okay. So when the banks buy back and that third set of eyes is not there, then they're required to do strictest compliance. And our lawyers interpret this as crossing every T and dotting every I. Okay? There's not a lot of court decisions defining at the top court at the SJC what exactly this means, because most foreclosures, when it's not in the middle of a crisis, are occasional things. They're going to get bought by third-party purchasers, only because we've been in this crisis where the banks have been foreclosing on everybody, mm-hmm. flooding the market, doing stuff that was illegal so third-party purchasers wouldn't buy, that we've had a lot of things that would fall under this standard, but it's not well-defined. Okay. When you go into court, though, you're going to use a lot of different standards, not just these, okay? So you've got a motion from bankruptcy court from the other side, yeah. looking for relief from stay. And relief from stay, bizarrely, seems to be a lower standard of review. It shouldn't be, but it seems to be in practice. They're required to show that they have a colorable claim. Now, colorable is, as the way that the courts seem to use it, means could somebody reasonably come to this conclusion that they have a claim to evict you in this case, okay? Or as we would argue, a claim to say that they own the house so that they could evict
you. Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
All the bank ever provides are those frickin' registry documents.
I know. And the court is supposed to be looking at whether that's a colorable claim. And so a colorable claim would be looking just at the documents they gave me, okay, because they should be giving me more. But as a judge, I'm looking at their claim based on the documents they give me. Do those documents look legit? And we would argue no, because all you need to do, a judge has a right to look beyond the documents they were given if the documents that they would look beyond to are in the public record. Right, so when we file against relief from judgment, we usually include the other registry documents that, for instance, show that they didn't have an authorized purchaser on that date. So when you look at your registry documents, you look at your foreclosure deed and your affidavit, we also pull the certificate of entry that tells us who was actually there that day claiming to represent the bank. And then we pull a document that's hard to find in the registry, usually because they don't index it properly, a power of attorney. Or a, what do they call them now, certificate of appointment, that will show that the person who claimed to be there that day representing the bank didn't have any authority, that their authority came supposedly weeks later. Can you imagine? Terry sends me down to buy a car for her at the local car lot. I'm about to sign the document for her, and they say, where's the power of attorney giving you the right to sign for her? And I go, oh, I'll get it to you sometime in the next month to 9 months. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let me buy the car for her.
No.
Well, this is what they do. They come to the auction. They hire these third-party contractors who run around from auction to auction.
Yeah.
That person's there. That's why we always know them. You know, Lori's friend, Bonnie Bear Green.
Not my friend.
We know them because there's only a limited number of them. They show up at every auction, and they're independent contractors. They have to have a contract giving them the authority to act that day. They get it a month, 3 months later, whatever.
Mine was in October.
When was the foreclosure?
June,
right. So yeah. they put in stuff saying they have a colorable claim. If we put in the rest of the documents from the registry lawyer, which the judge can take judicial notice of because they're in the public record, we can show they don't have a colorable claim at all because the person who supposedly bought back for the bank that day didn't have any authority. They clearly didn't buy anything, right? So this is about convincing the courts to look properly at the standard that they put out. Sometimes we file something to try and get a decision, or they do, try and get a decision before a final decision, but that has implications for the final decision. It's called a preliminary injunction. And that standard's supposed to be a little higher because you're putting it in early in the case, before there's been any real adjudication of anything, and asking the judge to rule for you. And so when you put in for a preliminary injunction, the court expects you to have better proof than they would expect you to have in the ultimate case, because you're asking them to preemptively decide something without all the evidence. Okay?
They do it for the lawyers.
Well, they do it sometimes for us too, very rarely, but sometimes. And so that's a slightly higher standard than a standard case would have, because you're preemptively asking them to rule. Motion to dismiss. Motion to dismiss
question.
Is going to be...
I have a question, Grace.
Yeah.
So if you get a letter that the bank is planning on foreclosing on you, your best bet would go down there and do that?
No.
Okay.
Not necessarily. We don't think so at this point because we don't win those cases ultimately yet. We're getting there. We're beginning to... It looks like we're going to begin to win them, but we haven't been. A motion to dismiss is probably closer to the standard for a preliminary injunction because you go in early with them usually, and you're basically saying, look, based on what I've got, the other side doesn't have a case, throw it out, okay? We also end up with a standard that is a very, very low standard to meet, and it's called something that's non-frivolous. Okay, so frivolousness, as they say, implies not a prayer of a chance. You really can't win it. And in fact, when someone files something they think is frivolous, they're supposed to look at why else would you file it? Are you just trying to delay? Are you trying to harass the other side by filing many cases, like happened in Lori's situation where they filed case after case, all of which were frivolous because they weren't brought properly. So they're looking for a case where you're just trying to delay, you're harassing the other side, you don't really have any evidence, or you're throwing out some legal theory that no one's ever won, ever, anywhere. So this is an incredibly low standard of review, right? They're looking at almost nothing and saying, yeah, this is ridiculous, and throwing it out, okay? So this is what we deal with supposedly on appeals. They're basically supposed to, in almost every case, they should be saying that your evidence is non-frivolous and you can go forward with an appeal because we're not using it to harass or delay or whatever. We have a legitimate argument, and that's what we're trying to do. So these are the standards of review I think we deal with the most, but it means that when you put in a motion, you're actually, discovery. When we ask for discovery. Anyway, when you put in a motion, you have to